Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Ah, yes, it's been a long, boring summer. But we're here, we're live at Bankwest Stadium for the start of the 2020 NRL season. A bumper crowd expected for Parramatta and Canterbury to kick off round number one. How good is it that the footy is back?
First game of the season, all you think is thank God football's here, but you're just so excited about playing round one. You just want to get out there and put everything into place that you've been training for.
A really joyous time because A, you've put the pre-season in the rearview mirror. You've got through 3 months of the hardest training you'll ever do in your life, unscathed.
Well, you're champing at the bit. You just want to get out there and rip straight in because it's been this clock that's been counting down, ticking away, and finally you get to cross that white line and go out and kick off a new season, a new campaign. You've got high hopes and you want to start the season off well.
First game, you're excited but you're nervous. When you're running out there, you're not thinking, okay, I just want to show the fans what I can do. You want to show your teammates?
I think you want to set a benchmark. You want to set a precedent for the rest of your season to get that snowball rolling and come off 80 minutes later, hopefully with a team win, but also with a really good individual showing.
You're about to put the boots on and run out into a footy field when the sun is still shining.
Now, there's so many feelings when you're running out, when you know it's time to go.
The crowd's still in their shorts and singlets, and it's like a carnival atmosphere.
It's a coliseum.
I really made sure that I soaked it all in. You can hear the noise, but I really made a conscious effort to almost have eye contact with the fans, you know, to go out there and to feed off them to some degree. So I made sure that I really absorbed what the crowd had to offer. You want to feel 10 foot tall and bulletproof.
Round one just has that feel about it that here we go again.
Ah, yes, the voices of Peter Sterling, Mark Geyer, Wendell Saylor. They're just three of the all-star cast here at Triple M NRL, and we do it thanks to Ream Hot Water. Thank you, Ream, for being part of Triple M Footy again. Steady, hot and strong. Make sure you install the Ream through our Triple M stations in Newcastle, Central Coast, Coffs Coast, Central West, the Riverina, the Mid-North Coast, Bundy, Cairns, Central Queensland, Fraser Coast, Mackay, Central Queensland, Townsville, Darling Downs, everyone listening through the app on or via triplem.com.au, and of course through Triple M Sydney and Brisbane. Dan Ganane here, but let's welcome the stars of the show, Mark Geyer, Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence, your Thursday night team. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. How good is it to have the footy back?
It's good to have the footy back, but more importantly, it's good to be hanging out with you blokes again.
Oh, that's nice.
Great time of the year, Emma. Obviously, you've done some great stuff already leading into this. We've had the All-Stars. Obviously, a lot of things have been going on in rugby league. But rugby league, that's what we want to talk about. And round one, two iconic clubs going head-to-head. How good?
Yeah, there's a bit of uncertainty in the air, both on and off the field in world sport. But one thing is for certain that rugby league is back with a bang tonight at Bankwest Stadium. And you can bet your bottom dollar that the Eels and the Bulldogs will put on a show for us.
And we are expecting something in the vicinity of 25,000 or even closer to a sellout. Kickoff is at 8:05 Eastern Standard Time. Of course, Queensland's now behind, so we have to do the New South Wales Queensland time thing for a few weeks. Beautiful sunny day here in the golden west of Sydney. We're in the mid 20s still as the sun sets in the background. We know it's been a troubled build up for the Bulldogs. We'll get to that shortly. Parramatta, my goodness, there's been some hype around the Eels over the last few weeks. But one of you mentioned it, coronavirus.
I think
we're looking at the very real possibility that this weekend
could be the last one we watch as a crowd,
crowds.
With lockouts, yeah.
The NBA today cancelled. I don't mean to start on a negative, but how can you avoid this topic?
I think we've got to start taking it a little bit seriously. Now that the NBA has had everything over in the States, they've cancelled their season indefinitely.
Yeah, they haven't just cancelled crowds. They've cancelled games.
Yes, one of the players from the Utah Jazz has tested positive for the coronavirus. So, yeah, I think it's time we started treating this with the due diligence that it deserves.
Right now the NRL's position is wait and see, Emma. I saw Peter Volandis the other night on one of the TV news services saying, look, there's no money in the bank. We really don't want to be cancelling. Certainly don't want to be cancelling games. We don't want to be playing in front of no crowds. I wonder what this news today that the NBA has just cancelled games. We've seen all around the world empty stadiums starting to become the norm.
In soccer, yeah.
Yeah, we have, yeah.
Italy's just completely shut down.
You'd have to think that would mean they're not afraid to do that if they're seeing bigger leagues across the world do that as well. And even though they said we're not going to get to that point just yet, but you just think about how many teams it affects too. If a player from one side, you think, okay, 14 days, so the team they were supposed to play, but then multiply that by the teams they were supposed six teams automatically with one player. Six teams are immediately affected, and that's assuming only one player.
Yeah. Especially those who have got a job on flights and stuff as well, yeah, where you'd think it'd spread more easily.
And the players are already, it's funny, just down there on the sideline, walking past a couple, Regan Campbell-Gillard walked past a few staff members and went to shake their hand and said, oh, I can't do that. Yet they're going to be tackling each other, you know what I mean? So
they're sweating on each other.
Yeah, it's...
Well, it's funny because, you know, as we come into the car park here, it's a great setup here, and Reid Marnie, who I've seen from afar, he's obviously a young Queenslander, and I just forgot all about it, and he walked over, and I put my hand out and shook his hand, and then until I got up here at Emma before, like I went to sell at Emma, and just sort of...
I saw Joey Johns in the hallway before, and I went to give him a cuddle, and he goes,
come on, mate.
That had nothing to do with coronavirus.
Joey, of all people, Fatty's the same, you sort of forget it, you sort of forget that, but it's a massive impact.
Well, you blokes know, as soon as one bloke gets a cold or a virus, the whole team gets a virus.
Yes, we do.
And that's why the NBA, one bloke, Rudy Gobert from the Utah Jazz, once he was found positive, yeah. I mean, well, kudos to the NBA for just saying, right, we're shutting the whole thing down. But you imagine if one player is found positive, they're in a... They can't... We're going to have to stop games for a while.
So, Dan, like I was going to say, yeah, so do you just play the games live without crowds, or you think you just got to shut it down?
Well, we are a TV sport.
That's what I mean.
So the non-games is the absolute worst-case scenario. Now, empty crowds are not ideal, obviously. It's going to be would be weird.
It'd be hard to get up for it.
Oh, exactly.
Like a training drill.
It would be like a training drill. Yeah, it's the crowd that inspire you. Even if it's, 5,000 are there, at least you play for them. It's an entertainment.
You're finding something, you're digging deep, those championship minutes, I agree.
It's certainly better than no game at all. And then you've got to think of rescheduling. We don't realise everything that goes in behind the scenes with booking the stadiums, ticketing, all of that sort of stuff. The logistics around trying to move games, if they are postponed and put back later, it is a logistical nightmare.
Yeah, and it's obviously happening very early in the season, so it hasn't been a great week or two for the NRL. We'll get to the doggy stuff in a moment, but we're going to have a big crowd tonight. There's been, I think, 120 cases in Australia confirmed. There's only 1,200 in America, and we've seen the mess it's made there, so you would think those numbers are only going to go up.
And that's been non-medical experts. If you're feeling a little bit down, go to your GP and get sorted.
Well, the scary thing is, I was looking at it today, a million people take public transport in Sydney every day. One person has a cold on there or has coronavirus.
Well, yeah. Well, MG, you told me, remember when we first started working together a couple of years ago, told me how you used to get on the train and that, and I believed you for about 2 weeks. You were saying I'm a man of the people.
I haven't been on the train for 30 years.
Too good.
All right. Now, let's try and get a little positive. Let's start talking a bit of footy as we get you ready for Parramatta and Canterbury. 54 minutes away. We'll have the teams in just moments. A short time ago, just before we started here at 7 o'clock, Emma Lawrence caught up with Bulldogs coach Dean Pay.
Dean Pay, thanks for your time. I know it's been a really tough week for the club. How do you make sure that the drama doesn't affect the on-field performance?
Oh, look, Em, it's been difficult over the last few days in particular, but look, we're focused on our footy. We don't have any excuses. We want to turn up and put a really good performance in.
Brandon Wakeham in the halves, everyone's very much looking forward to seeing him. What can we expect and what excites you most about him?
Yeah, he's a great kid. He got a couple of games in last year and done really well, and he's had a terrific off-season. He's a player that sort of plays a little bit more what's in front of him, so we're all excited to watch him play.
The Eels, they've got a big pack. Is that where you think it'll be won, that battle through the middle?
Yeah, they're a big physical pack. I'm sure that, we're here at Bank West and, there's going to be an enormous crowd here, so the atmosphere is going to be great. So, we're all looking forward to it.
Thank you very much. Good luck.
Thanks.
Thank you, Emma. Well done there, Emma, on the sideline tonight. Thanks to Harvey Norman. $300 million home appliance clearance at Harvey Norman is on, but hurry because it ends on Monday at Harvey Norman. Triple M rocking the footy for Macca's. Test your tongue with Macca's new Spicy McChicken range. You got MG, you got Wendell Saylor, you got Emma Lawrence, and you got Dan Ganane. MG, do you think the dramas of the week will actually affect the Dogs?
Oh, it's got to. It's got to. You know, it's... Any off-field drama usually finds its way onto the field, whether you like it or not. And the fact that $2 million has been erased from their bottom line, no NRL club can afford that these days in the climate we're in. So, yeah, it will. The fact that it's the first game of the year might help the Dogs somewhat, that the players are itching at the bit to get out on the footy field and play. You know, and obviously the drama of Port Macquarie will linger for a couple of weeks until we find out what's happening with the players. But I think they're a resilient mob. They, you know, most players are. These guys have been training for the last 3 or 4 months on their own and together in soaring heat. Tonight's the night they get to express themselves in a way that they will. And I think the Dogs will show up.
I know that they are resilient, but we've seen with other clubs, Panthers had a horror start last year, and Ivan Cleary kept saying, no. It's just a few things we need to fix up in attack. It's not because of the sex tape scandal. Mm. And then at the end of the season, he said, actually, upon reflection, yes, that totally derailed our campaign. And upon reflection, yes, that meant we weren't able to focus on the field. And Paul McGregor did the same with the Jack Bellin saga. Yeah. So they never admitted at the time, but... They always, it's months down the track or a year down the track, they'll say, yes, that was really a distraction. Even with contract negotiations, they end up saying, oh, that was such a distraction, but no one admits it at the time.
Yeah, look, there's all good points there, but I think as a player, you just want the season to start. And I know those two players were very important. You know, Corey obviously played in that All-Stars and he played wonderful, but you just can't control what people are saying, what people are doing. But once you get out there, you know, MG, we've been through adversity. You can control that. And at the back end of last season, I think they won 7 out of 10 games and people go, oh, well, the pressure was off and, you know, but I just think the Bulldogs will want to get their old DNA back to the Dogs of War. So it's a good opportunity for some of those young players and some new players coming into this team.
I'm going to get to very positive outlook. I'm going to get to Tom Hackett at Ladbrokes in a sec. Just hang on there, Tom, because I've got to ask you guys this. Should Ockenbaugh and Harawira-Naira, but Ockenbaugh seems to be the one in more trouble, should he be sacked?
If it's found to be true, the allegation...
No one's denying anything in terms of that everything's consensual, but...
Yeah, it's a moral dilemma. He's done nothing illegal, but he's done something very ethically, morally wrong. So I think a heavy suspension and fine would be... It's his first offence, as far as I'm aware. So something in the range. I think it's a bit unfair on the guy to sack him forever from the game and just say that's it. You know, you've done. We've had guys in the game do a lot worse who are still playing. So
I could put up with him getting sacked or them getting sacked. But being able to go to another club, people are going, well, he shouldn't be allowed back in.
But that's not fair to the Dogs.
But if it happens, it happens. Like, I know that they're talking about keeping one and sacking the other one. I don't know, they're obviously different circumstances. Yeah.
Well, Ockenbaugh, it was a school visit where he met the young lady and arrangements started to be made, whereas Harawira-Naira was simply a Tinder situation, by my understanding.
Or a shopping centre.
Was it real?
It's something like that, yeah.
Okay. Sacking's quite harsh.
Yeah,
I think when it's the first mistake, and we've seen in the past players, different situations, but, you know, Jack Whiten getting in a fight, you know, around 10 weeks, $30,000, that type of thing. Mm. They're a harsh
Mitchell
punishment.
Pierce, yeah.
Yes, Mitchell Pearce. Oh. A harsh punishment, but I think it's would be unfair to sack him completely. And then if another club picks him up straight away, then it's unfair to the Dogs. So 10-plus weeks... $50,000+.
Yeah,
that's
if that doesn't get the message across, what would?
Yeah, the thinking is that Ockenbaugh probably is certainly more likely to get sacked.
Yeah. Mm.
Let's be honest, Ockenbaugh is more dispensable.
Well, that's exactly.
But this is rugby league.
That's right.
The better you are, the more leniency there is. Ockenbaugh's quote unquote crime is deemed worse.
Well, there seems to be a lot more reporting of the Ockenbaugh crime than there is of the Harawira-Naira crime.
It is so stupid. Don't get me wrong. Even though I'm saying to be sacked is harsh,
it's the most ridiculous.
Like, how dumb can you be?
The 100 things could have gone wrong with that scenario played out. 100 things could have gone wrong, and this is what we've ended up with. The last 48 hours for the Dogs fans, their supporters, their other players who did the right thing,
yep,
are a bloody nightmare.
But not just that. Can we say this? So, at last couple of months, obviously we've had the bushfires.
Oh yeah,
the Dragons,
all that good
work.
All that good work's gone.
South, all that. Everyone that went down the south coast and donated no jerseys or whatever, and everyone that's done. We're not talking about that because we're talking about this situation. Absolutely shattered.
One of the good things Luke has done over the years is the school visits. And then all that just goes out the window. Yeah. If you're a school, there's no way you're going to have league players around for a while. Triple M Footy, thanks to Ream Hot Water. All right, let's take a quick break. We will come back and start to preview this particular game in depth as the lights start to take effect here. What a beautiful night in the Golden West of Sydney. It's Parramatta and Canterbury to open season 2020. We'll tell you what other games we're doing this weekend as well as Triple M rocks the footy. Ah, yes. The first of 201 games in this NRL season. Triple M will be calling more than half of them. And we're live at Bankwest Stadium for the Eels and the Bulldogs. You've got Wendell Saylor, Mark Guy, Emma Lawrence and Dan Ganay, and that's your call team tonight. And I think we are the call team each and every Thursday.
We are.
Dream team.
There might be a few little adjustments here and there, but Maroon is moving to Fridays, the 6 p.m. game.
Latest Maroon.
With you on that one, MG?
Me and Gerds.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That was my favourite one, the Friday 6 p.m. one, but Maroon's got that this year. He's going to have a ball, and tomorrow night it's Canberra versus the Gold Coast Titans live here on Triple M. Brisbane, you will get North Queensland versus the Broncos. Dobbo will be doing some games this year as usual. Saturday afternoon, Peter Sterling is back on Triple M Footy, calling with Maroon the game between the Newcastle Knights and the New Zealand Warriors. Gerds will be on that one as well. Well, and Wendell, because of your moves, you're going up in the world.
Yeah.
You've gone to the Dead Set Legends on Saturday morning. So now you're not doing the Saturday game. You're doing the Sunday game with myself and Gordy.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm excited to work with you. And obviously, big Gordy, when I first came to Triple M, I used to work a fair bit with you and obviously Gordy. But I haven't really seen him for the last couple of seasons.
That Sunday sin bin gets pretty heavy.
With Herbs.
Kenzie and Hoobs.
Herbs and PK.
Oh, no, but I just...
He's only doing the game.
You've got to get it for the last half an hour and just throw the grenade.
Really?
Just do something. Actually, you probably won't have to with them guys. Yeah. It's compulsive listening.
Yes, mate, Saturday's hard enough for me to listen to Gus and June, you know. The boys have been going good on Dead Set.
10 to 12, the Dead Set Legends are back.
Yes, and Saturday it's the scrum, isn't it?
Yes.
Saturday scrum 12 till 3. So the usual show, slightly different name, but Tony Squires leading the team there. You're part of that, Em?
I'm part of it with Gerds, and we'll have a rotating panel. Yep. So we've got Mitch Moses, Damian Cook, Jai Arrow as well,
Wade Graham, yes.
And Mitch Moses will be on this week.
And MG will be...
I'll be the sixth leg.
Yeah.
Are you?
Well, yes.
You're doing a lot of work this year.
I know.
No wonder he's
happy. Holding you to your contract this year.
They've got me. They called me Loch Ness Monster there for a while. They knew I was... They couldn't find me, but now they can.
You mean the 12 charity Friday nights you missed out on? Oh, sorry, I'm doing... I can't.
Free. I'm now free.
But if you have it, if you're sick, just let me know and I'll fill in for you.
Well, the glands. Yeah. They're always up. But,
You can do it. Coronavirus. You can just say, sorry, I can't affect the rest of the team.
Actually, one of my kids might be crook at the moment. Can't spread it. No. I'm all good. Fantastic.
And Sunday we've moved to 1 o'clock, so 1 till 4 it is the Sunday sin bin.
Yep.
And then the game, as usual, 4 o'clock until about 6:30 will be on air. So that is what's coming each and every week here on Triple M.
That's a lot of footy.
And we'll do some extra games as you know, Good Friday and Anzac Day and Easter Monday and those sorts of things.
We're going to Magic Round.
We are going to Magic Ground.
Yeah, that'll be great. And we're going to Adelaide.
Origins, anyway, how good's Origin?
Oh, so good. I just love it. I just love Triple M. I just love it.
By the way.
He's fishing for another pay rise.
We had a little Triple M function, which you were at, Emma.
Pull back the curtain a bit here.
And it was at the SCG. It was a lovely thing. It was sort of our launch, and we thanked the sponsors. Wendell.
Oh, yeah.
Wendell managed to, at the pub we went to afterwards, just sidled up next to the KO sports people, thinking, I'm a chance here for something, right? And you know, Wendell's a charmer. You know that Wendell's one of the great...
Hard to resist.
Well, he's a lovely man. He's a lovely fella. He's interesting. He's always the life of the party. Well, I turn on Emma Lawrence on Channel 10 yesterday, and here's a story
a KO promotion, and Wendell Saylor.
Wow.
In a green, green's not your colour, by the way, but a green polo. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's maroon-esque, the way you've just flummed an urn. And I'm saying I'm filthy about this because I was trying to do exactly the same thing. I was pumping those KO blokes for about 3 hours.
How did you lose the gig then?
Yeah, that's all. I can't believe. Well, yeah,
because we went on, we kicked on to somewhere else, and one of the blokes said, "Oh, mate, can I get your number?"
Oh, you said no. Well, come on, mate.
See, that's the difference. I should have went home because that's what I thought. Oh, I've got to go home because I had Dead Set Legends.
Yes.
And so obviously they said, "Oh, mate, will you do this?" And I said, "Oh, who's involved?" So they, when they said Tom Trbojevic and whatever, and I said, "Oh, look, mate, if you need me to be Triple M, I'm happy to represent Triple M."
And you do it for nothing, which is great.
Yeah. You got to. You're
just a man of the people, aren't
that's,
you?
You got
to
be.
Right, well done, Wendell. I wanted it to rub off on me, but it could, by the way, Magic Round, one round, one ground, 16 teams, 8 games. The NRL Magic Round is coming to Brisbane. We saw what a success it was last year, and it's even better this year. They've dumped the Thursday game, and they've got an extra game on Sunday. So it's just three action-packed days, and we will be there. Get your tickets today and witness Magic firsthand. I'd be stunned if any of those games, any of those days had less than 40,000.
Yeah, it's going to be enormous.
That's the way they should. Yeah, they went from last year.
Real carnival, NRL.com/tickets. So make sure you're part of that. NRL.com/tickets. I promise we will get to this game. In fact, we'll preview it right after this. We'll catch up with Brad Arthur. We're live at Bankwest Stadium. It's the Eels and the Bulldogs. Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M footy.
It's time. 30 minutes till Triple M rocks footy. Thanks to McDonald's.
Yeah, getting closer. Not too far away here at Bankwest Stadium. We're just watching Mitchell Moses in front of us try and pilot a few goals. Joey John's double dipping, doing Channel 9 commentary and doing some coaching at the same time.
He's the best. Yeah, he's good. He's good.
Nice crowd building here. It's always a good sign when at the top of the stadium here that they're already starting to file in. So I think we're going to get close to a sellout as Triple M rocks the footy for Macca's. And they have 3 levels of heat on their new Spicy McChicken range. I had this the other day. You're going to want to choose wisely. The mild is hot enough. The new Spicy Mayo Jalapeno or Sriracha McChicken only at Macca's.
How good?
Now, Emma Lawrence is with the Parramatta Eels coach, Brad Arthur.
Brad, first game at home at Bankwest, does it get any better?
Yeah, we haven't had a home game to open the season for nearly 3 or 4 years now, so it's a good opportunity for us to start well. But, you know, we're up against a tough opposition.
And feeling very relaxed today, was there any nerves or just chilling out?
No, not a lot of nerves, but I've done something I haven't done for a while, is vacuum the house, so I was pretty happy. My wife was pretty happy at home, but yeah, no, usually just sort of sit back and watch next week's opposition, but there's not a lot of video at the moment on Titans.
Lots of external noise about you guys and expectation, can you feel that?
Oh, look, yeah, and it goes with the territory. You know, we've got a good squad together. We've had a good finish to last year, except for our final. And Parramatta fans have been waiting a while, and they just want us to do well. So that's the expectation. We want to do well as well. The club wants us to do well. Everyone wants us to perform well. So that's just part of the job.
Lots of talk about your recruits, but someone who was really impressive in the trial was Mitch Moses, especially defensively. Do you think that's where we'll see a different Mitch Moses this year?
Yeah. Look, he's at the moment he's just worried about his defence and his kick finishes. He played very tough, I thought, in the trial match last week. And, you know, if he can start like that, you know, it'll give him all the opportunities later on at the back end of the game or back end of the halves to bring out his attacking flair that he's got. But, you know, if he continues to approach the game with a tough mentality, you know, we're hoping that he'll have a big year.
All right, thanks, Brad. All the best.
Thank you.
Hey, reasonably relaxed, Brad, out there with Emma Lawrence.
He said he was bored today. When I spoke to him before it, he said,
we're trying to pretend that was live. You can't speak 2 seconds after.
Well, you go a bit quick.
We can't tell. Emma's right. We can't tell lies here on Triple M. No, that was recorded about 6:30.
He said he was bored. He said he usually is looking at video of next week. And he said, I had nothing to do, so I just had to vacuum. And I said, can you please say that to me? Because that's great, knowing what... that he said, I was bored today. I was counting down the hours for this game to come.
Speaking of, you know, bored, I'll tell you what wouldn't be boring is having Joey coach you for Mitchell Moses. Look, Mitchell Moses is sort of a free spirit anyway. When you watch him play, watch him get interviewed, always so confident. But sometimes, you know, as I think Brad said, his defence people question sometimes. Just body in front. And we've seen Luke Keary, you know. Man, I couldn't believe yesterday the size of Luke Keary. And just getting your body in front. So Joey, I reckon, is going to be great for him this year.
Is the hype, MG, justified? It seems as though Parramatta are the fashionable tip for everybody in season 2020. This is a team that finished fifth in the regular season. They were knocked out in the second week. So they've got to take a couple of leaps to become the elite.
I think with their off-season acquisitions in Madison, Campbell Gillard, but they've also locked away their stars. Gutherson, their spine, Brown, Moses and Marnie was the only one who's not. He's off contract, I think, at the end of this year, so I'd wrap him up pretty quickly because he's a good one.
Yeah.
The fact that I think Junior Paulo has lost a bit of beef, Freddie has come out and said that he's on his radar for Origin. You know, that's a really big tick of approval from the Origin coach when he's saying that about you. And I think the justification is real for the Parramatta team being one of them teams that are going to, especially with this stadium. You know, this stadium, I think, is worth 8 to 10 points before they even run out.
Yeah. But this is not their problem, MG. It's when they play away from home, like we saw in Melbourne, Dan. That first half, they weren't even in that game. I know it was you know, that was a final. But sometimes Parramatta, they get too comfortable here. Mm. And then when they go away, they're a different team. I think the strength of a top four side or a top two side is, look at the Roosters, you know. Melbourne Storm over the years been able to win away. I think it's easy to win at home, but the mental toughness comes in when you learn to win away.
The difference last year between their best and their worst was fairly significant. There was a game they got pumped by the Storm. It might have been Magic Round, like 64-10 or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they had a couple of games, a Tigers game, where they smashed the Tigers. But how in a couple of weeks just go from one extreme to the other? And I know Brad Arthur is, I mean, it's get that word consistency gets thrown around, but that's the difference between, I mean, the Roosters' best and worst is not really that far apart, is it? So that's the difference between those top couple of teams.
We know how good Ryan Madison can be. He was on the verge of Origin last year. MG, Regan Campbell-Gillard's an interesting one. It went pretty sour at Penrith. This is a guy that had two broken jaws. One was a particularly nasty broke. I mean, any broken jaw is nasty, but one was particularly ugly.
Mm.
Do you worry that there's a bit of scar tissue, yes?
Well, kind of. He played that way towards the end of his time at Penrith. I said earlier on the rush hour that I want to see the ball kicked off to him at the kickoff, and I want to see him run front on. I don't want to see him turn his body, because as a front rower, that's a true indication that you've got something else to worry about. I want to just see him get the ball and run, pump his legs and his knees and run straight front on. It'll mean all them
demons
have been exercised. If he doesn't, well, he could be in for a long year.
But also Ryan Madison, I reckon he's got a lot to prove too, because 3 years, three different clubs, the way that he left the Tigers, there's a few question marks on him. We know how talented he is. He was 18th man for New South Wales last year, but he just left a bad taste in the fans' mouth, I reckon.
He is adamant that it wasn't money. I'm told they'd asked him to play hurt.
Okay.
That Madge was quite strident in making him play when he didn't think he was fit to play. Now, I don't know if that's true, but the money, it might not be as straightforward as we think, where he was paid $350, which at the time was a great deal, but obviously his talent and his form exceeded that. But it mightn't be as straightforward as, this bloke just having a whinge to get a better pay packet, which incidentally he got.
It looks like that too, yeah. And he was certainly a better player after last year as well.
I think personality clash definitely came into it. But then because he ends up with more money, everyone assumes it is about the money.
Yeah. And I don't know if the hurt thing is true. That's just one of the things that a good source told me. But I'm happy to be corrected on that if it's not true. Triple M rocking Thursday night football here. Okay, where are we putting Parramatta, MG?
I've got them finishing second. I've got them high. I don't think they'll win the comp. I think the Raiders will win the comp because of what happened to them last year and how close they got to the Roosters. But I just think, I get what Del's saying about the away winning away. But when you've got such a magnificent stadium as this, it just kind of, it gives you 12 wins without even trying type thing, if you're a good team. That's not many teams in the comp besides maybe Brisbane as well with the Suncorp, who had a pretty ordinary year last year, can say that. They've, your home ground is everything, and they've turned this into a coliseum. And you'll hear the roar tonight at about 8:05 when they run out in the field. As a player, that's what you want. That's what you want to hear every weekend.
You know, Del, they don't play a finals team from last year until round 7. Jesus. Their first 6, Canterbury, Gold Coast, North Queensland, albeit up there, Dragons, Wests, Tigers on Easter Monday, and Canterbury again, playing them in round 6. Then Brisbane, we saw what they did to them.
Yeah,
I think that's up there in round 7. But they should, if they're fair dinkum, get off to a flyer.
Exactly. I mean, they might probably drop one game, or they should drop one game.
Yeah.
The Cowboys game, I think, up there will be different, because Cowboys, they'll want to make that like this at Coliseum. Apparently, it's fabulous.
Yeah, good, yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. We've seen the pictures and that. Are you calling any games up this year?
I hope so, yes.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'd love to. The in-laws are up there, and they've been, and they love it, everything about it. So, you know, for Parramatta, for me, I'll be watching when they go up there. I'll see how their mindset is. And I love what Brad Arthur said. Even tonight, if they don't get the win, he wants to make sure they play with the style of football they've been training with. Yeah.
Yeah. MG, back on saying you think the Raiders have what it takes to go all the way in with the hurt. I spoke to John Bateman, went down to Canberra during the week, and he told me he forced himself to watch the grand final 3 times already, and he's watched that Fox League doco that the Roosters did. Wow. He forced himself to watch it, and the bit that he replayed was them holding the trophy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? Ricky Stewart has been there and done that. He's in, walked a mile in them player's shoes and been hurt. Felt joy, felt triumphant, and I think that the acquisition of Young Williams for the Raiders, the halfback from England, I think solidifies that defensive role for the Raiders. And I think that Papali, along with probably Takiyaho, are the best front rowers in the game at the minute. Throw in Hargraves as well, if you like. But yeah, I think the Raiders, Nicol Clodstad, they've got young Curtis Scott in their centres to bolster their defensive ranks.
Better balance, isn't it, for them?
I think so.
Yeah, Joey Leilua, he got a bit lazy in the
field. Yeah, I think so.
But also, Horsberg, mate, he's a Queenslander. I realise he's a Queenslander.
And he's a redhead. You can't hurt redheads.
But the last couple of years, watching him come through, you just, this guy, he just doesn't take a backward step.
I like him a lot.
Mate, I reckon he's a smoker.
He can get an origin,
100%,
yeah.
I like him.
The most underrated player in the whole competition for mine is Joseph Tarpany.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
He is such a weapon of a player.
You know what he's got to do? Stop getting himself suspended.
Yes. That's the only blemish on his game.
That's the point, you know, you sail close to the line. Yeah. You don't want him to lose that.
No, that's
but
true.
Just don't get yourself in trouble.
That's quite like Nathan Brown.
Yes.
But he learned that, didn't he?
Well, his grandmother gave him a bake last year, so we think we're going to get a much better behaved Nathan Brown. We're going to talk a bit of doggies after this, and an incredible report today about Wayne Bennett's next destination.
Ooh.
We'll have more on that after this. Triple M rocking Thursday night football on Triple M.
Marine hot water. Triple M rocks footy.
10 minutes away from kickoff here at beautiful Bankwest Stadium. Triple M rocking you Thursday night. And we do it thanks to Macca's. And don't forget to test your tongue with Macca's new Spicy McChicken range. MG, Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence and Dan Ganame. We've spoken about the controversy at the Dogs. Not a lot of noise, MG, around their prospects for this season. They finished last year in a real flourish. I think they won 5 of their last 7.
Yeah, 7-10, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah, no one's expecting too much, though, in 2020. Can they surprise?
Well, we had our Jack Links forecast at the SCG for our NRL launch.
Yes.
And my was the Doggies to make the 8. Finishing the 8th spot.
Were you drinking at that time? Or
I'd had one beer.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd had one.
Yeah.
Right from the glove box.
With the summer roll.
Yeah.
So, look, this is a big distraction, this last 48 hours. I think one that they can't really recover from, to be honest. I think that just about the dog season's almost over before it started. They've got to show something in the first month to try and change everyone's view on that, but I just see it so hard overcoming such a dramatic happening in your club, like Penrith did last year, like the Dragons did the year before. It takes the toll, because all of a sudden you've got cameras everywhere at training filming you for wrong reasons. They're not filming you because they want to do a story on your great footy. They're filming you because there's no sponsor on your jersey. And they're filming you because two of your players have been stood down for doing something unsavoury. So all that focus of the last 4 months of been trying to win a competition is gone. And it's hard to come back. It's hard to get that back. And I think it's going to be very, very hard for the Dogs to recover from the happenings of the last 48 hours.
Yeah, and I think Dean Pay, I think they've done a really good job most of the off-season. So even for Dean Pay, you could just tell he obviously was a bit stressed the last couple of days. But even some of the players they've picked now, the best thing they can do out here is go out and show the fans why they want to represent the Bulldogs and just get that first win, which takes a lot of pressure. If they start losing, you know, they lose one, lose two, lose three, all of a sudden it becomes an issue. It'll be an issue. But if you're winning games, it sort of stays there a little bit, stays in the background. Those players get dealt with. And even last year, we saw how they defended. And I was going, why wouldn't this team defend like this halfway through the season, you know, start of the season? I want to see if they can implement that now, because even their attack, yeah. I think their attack got better when they got their halves right. Also, Dallin came to the team, the way that he brought that ball back, and I reckon he's such a big influence in their team.
Yeah, certainly when Dallin came, their attack was a lot better, but they scored the least amount of points, yet they had one of the best, if not the best, completion rate and fewest errors. So they were holding on to the ball, but then... There was no creativity, no
that's
spark. With no Kieran Foran, no experience head. So hopefully, well, they say that Dean Pay has massive wraps in him. Hopefully he can inject that spark and Lachlan Lewis can be more steering the ship. But still, they're very young. Jeremy Marshall-King still very inexperienced. I mean... I don't know. I mean, I know MG said they'll make the eight, but I can't see them making the eight.
I said it before the last 48 hours.
The safe pick would have been to go with Cogger and Lewis. Mm. He knows that you need something out of the box, and that's why this Wakeham, Brandon Wakeham, obviously the young Fijian, he can do that for him. Good kicking game, good running game, and he plays what he sees. And I reckon it compliments Lewis, because we know he's a tough defender and doesn't mind mixing.
Well, have you got him in your eight?
They're my bottom four.
After all that pump
up. Well, Brandon Wakeham, he's going to be good, going to inject some spark. Oh, they're still at the bottom.
You know, Brandon Wakeham was a nominee for the Golden Boot. He's played 3 first grade games.
Wow.
Because he did some good things with
Fiji. Fiji, that's right, yeah.
By the way, something I touched on before the break, Phil Rothfield on the Daily Telegraph, one of their podcasts, has reported today that he believes that Wayne Bennett will be the next coach of the St. George Illawarra Dragons.
What?
Wow.
So obviously the pressure's on Paul McGregor. And we know Wayne is leaving South at the latest end of next year. But, I mean, how often does a coach, all fall apart once we know who the next coach is going to be?
And also, don't forget, Bruce Gordon, massive Wayne Bennett fan. What Wayne did over there those couple of years, the community loved it, and the Dragons fans, you know, they want him back.
Actually, my bold prediction, MG, at the season launch, was that Souths win the comp, and so Bennett says, there you go, I'm done, I can leave Souths.
This year or next?
This year.
I'm not going to say no to that. I think Souths are right in the hunt. I think once they get Jairo, yes, that could be a premiership. I think, he's got 2 years to go, Bennett?
2 years, but I worry about their forward pack. I don't know if there's enough in it. I know they've got some good kids and that, and they've got some good players there. But I just don't know if they've got enough in their forwards. I know their back line looks good.
I haven't seen a more deadly back line than that.
Yeah. It is deadly.
It is deadly. It's literally the greatest indigenous... Or someone referred to as the greatest indigenous back line ever assembled.
Yep.
So there you go. So keep an eye on that. Wayne Bennett there. He's already said he wants to coach somewhere else. People have sort of assumed it's going to be the new Brisbane team if that eventually gets the green light, but maybe it'll be the Dragons.
I still think this Parramatta Eels has got the best outside five in the comp just in front of the Roosters. I know we're talking about the Bunnies, but I think this outside five here, we always underestimate how good they can. And having two wingers like that, Blake Ferguson and Sivo complement each other, mate, unbelievable.
All right, less than 10 minutes until the scheduled kickoff here at Bankwest Stadium. The crowd is filing in. It is Parramatta and Canterbury. Triple M rocking Thursday night football.
Marine hot water. Triple M rocks footy.